Virtual meeting of the San Francisco Entertainment Commission. My name is Sin Wong, and I am the Commission's Vice President. We will start with announcements.
We'd like to start the meeting with a land acknowledgement. We, the San Francisco Entertainment Commission, acknowledge that we are on the unceded ancestral homeland of the Ramaytush Ohlone, who are the original inhabitants of the San Francisco Peninsula. As the indigenous stewards of this land and in accordance with their traditions, the Ramaytush Ohlone have never ceded, lost, nor forgotten their responsibilities as the caretakers of this place, as well as for all peoples who reside in their traditional territory. As guests, we recognize that we benefit from living and working on their traditional homeland. We wish to pay our respects by acknowledging the ancestors, elders, and relatives of the Ramaytush community and by affirming their sovereign rights as First Peoples. This meeting is being held in hybrid format with the meeting occurring in person in City Hall Room 416, broadcast live on SFGov TV, and available to view on Zoom or listen to by calling 1-669-900-6833 using meeting ID 898-4692-7214. We welcome the public's participation during public comment periods. There will be an opportunity for general public comment at the beginning of the meeting, and there will be an opportunity to comment on each discussion or action item on the agenda. For each comment is limited to 3 minutes. For those attending remotely, the Commission will hear up to 20 minutes of remote public comment total for each agenda item. Because of the 20-minute time limit, it is possible that not every person in the queue will have an opportunity to provide remote public comment. Remote public comment from people who have received an accommodation due to disability will not count towards the 20-minute limit. Public comment will be taken both in person and remotely by video or call-in. For each item, the Commission will take public comment first from people attending the meeting in person and then from people attending the meeting remotely. For those attending in person, please fill out a speaker card located at the side table or podium. Come up to the podium during public comment, state your name, any affiliations, and then your comment. You will have 3 minutes. Once finished, please hand your speaker card to the Commission staff behind the podium. If using Zoom platform to speak, select the raise hand option when it's time for public comment. If calling by phone, dial *9 to be added to the speaker line when your item of interest comes up. When you are asked to speak, you unmute yourself by hitting *6. Please call from a quiet location, speak clearly and slowly, and turn down your television or radio. If you're also viewing the meeting on SFGov TV, be sure to mute it before speaking during public comment. Alternatively, while we recommend that you use Zoom, audio, or a telephone for public comment, you may submit a written public comment through the chat function on Zoom. Please note that commissioners and staff are not allowed to respond to comments or questions during public comment. Thank you to SFGov TV and Media Services for sharing this meeting with the public.
All right, Commission Secretary Leong, let's do the roll call.
Vice President Wong.
Here.
Commissioner Davis.
Here.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Here.
Commissioner Fongio.
Present.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Here. The next item on the agenda is item number 2, general public comment. Are there any public comments for items not listed on the agenda tonight?
There are none.
All right, public comment is closed. Next item on the agenda is item 3, approval of the minutes for April 1, 2025 commission meeting. Do we have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Vice President Wong.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
Are there any public comments on the minutes?
There are none.
Seeing none, public comment is now closed. The meeting minutes have been approved. The next item on the agenda is item number 4, report from the executive director.
Good evening, commissioners. I just have a couple updates for you this evening. We do have a piece of legislation that we're tracking that's being sponsored by Supervisor Dorsey that cleans up a couple of zoning areas in South of Market as it relates to nighttime entertainment and general entertainment uses. It is a great thing that he's doing this. He actually tried to bring this legislation forward a few years ago, and it did not pass. It went before the Planning Commission on Thursday of last week, and it had a unanimous vote of approval. I was in attendance there to just give any feedback around what the commission's operations are, and how we bring applicants forward before this commission to be able to determine conditions and then be able to regulate on such conditions. But they did not feel it was necessary to go into detail with me, which is a good thing. Essentially, it's removing a 200-foot buffer rule that they had on a couple of zoning districts in SoMa. So at this point, it really only opens up the ability for a couple of addresses to come forward and get permits from us directly. If this passes, we'll continue to track it as it makes its way through the legislative process, and we'll update you on that. Hopefully it does pass. You have any questions on that before I go on? I did include, just so you have it in your packets, the executive summary that was provided to the Planning Commission, so you can take a look at that. It also links to the actual board file number. And then I also included some of our talking points that are just handy around why this is important, why we should continue to open up these uses.
I think that's fantastic. We were unable to rent a couple spaces during our long, long search for this, to relocate the stud, because of that. That 200-foot buffer. So
sorry.
Well, we found a perfect home. So,
yeah. Okay, great. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. So just so you're aware, the two places that will be coming to us for permits are Mars Bar, which currently has a limited live performance permit. They'll come for a place of entertainment. And then 655 Folsom is going to be a new address for entertainment that you will definitely be hearing more about at an upcoming hearing.
Very cool.
Okay. So the only other update this evening is just a reminder on our annual Nightlife and Entertainment Summit happening on Monday, May 12th at 49 South Van Ness. And that's occurring from 12 noon until 4 p.m. with an optional happy hour afterward that will be at Smuggler's Cove starting at 4:15. I bring this to attention to the commission and anyone watching. You're all invited. It's free and open to the public. In order to go to the happy hour, though, you have to be over 21 years old. Dylan today just posted all of the agenda information for the summit. We're still hoping to confirm a couple of opening speakers during the welcoming section, but we have confirmed all of the speakers for our two panel discussions. We've confirmed all of the departments that we'll be tabling during the resource fair portion that occurs from 12 to 1. We're really excited about it, and thank you so much in advance to all of the commissioners that are participating either on a panel, helping develop, helping put together collateral. Thank you so much. And if you want to plug in any more to this event, please feel free to reach out to me directly, and I'm happy to try to assign you something. Otherwise, really looking forward to seeing you all there. We look forward to this event every year. And also just want to encourage anyone watching, we do have an open call for survey responses right now for our annual survey. And so both the event and the survey continue to be promoted via our newsletter and our social channels. Any questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Executive Director. Are there any public comments on that report?
I have a question for you.
There are no hands raised on Zoom. I have a Zoom housekeeping announcement. We are still unable to figure out how to allow chat comments on Zoom, so I'm going to put the Entertainment Commission's email address in the chat for those who want to do a public comment via email. And then the voice ability to make a comment is working on Zoom. So just want to make sure for the record everyone knows that. We are still trying to troubleshoot why it's doing that.
Okay, seeing no comments, public comment is now closed. Next item on the agenda is item number 5, report from the senior inspector.
Thank you, Vice President Wong. We have received 41 complaints since our last hearing on April 1st, and I'm happy to report that I have no other enforcement action to report tonight. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. We like that. Okay. Any public comments on the report from the senior inspector?
There are none.
Public comment is now closed. Next item on the agenda is item number 6, updates on nightlife business assistance.
Awesome. Good evening, Commissioners. Ben Van Houten, Director of Nightlife Initiatives, the San Francisco Office of Economic and Workforce Development. A very brief report out for you this evening on some state and local items of interest. Kicking it off with a couple of pieces of state legislation that have been announced over the last couple of months. Most recently, Assemblymember Haney announced AB 342, which would allow local governments to designate hospitality zones within which businesses could offer potentially offer extended alcohol service hours on Fridays, Saturdays, and on state holidays as well. As with previous bills around extended hours, there is some significant local process required if this were adopted. Local governments would have to adopt resolutions to designate these zones where extended hours could be offered, as well as findings around the appropriateness of the zone, and then transportation and public safety plans for those zones. I believe this bill has its first hearing next week, and certainly interested in monitoring the progress of that. Moving forward. Additionally, SB 395 from Senator Wiener and sponsored by the mayor would allow San Francisco specifically to authorize the issuance of up to 20 new non-transferable restaurant liquor licenses over 3 years to support new business activity in the downtown hospitality zone. That's the Union Square and Yerba Buena area. And that one had its first committee hearing last week and passed unanimously, so continuing to move forward there. A couple of local projects to have some updates on. Entertainment zones continue to be something of interest that stakeholders around San Francisco are exploring as a tool to support our local brick and mortar restaurants and bars, and also catalyze and sustain outdoor activity, arts and entertainment activity around the city. Last week, the mayor introduced legislation to designate 5 new entertainment zones: Valencia Street, Pier 39, Folsom Street, Yerba Buena Lane, and Ellis Street. It's a really interesting and exciting mix of different spaces, different parts of the city, CBDs, merchant associations, individual business owners, bringing creative ideas about how to activate the outdoor space around them together. So really excited to see the trajectory of those zones. Additionally, the Castro Entertainment Zone, I believe, was approved on second reading at the Board of Supervisors today. It had a positive first vote last week. And the Union Street Entertainment Zone is currently pending. By our count, the number of zones that are either currently pending at the board or have been adopted legislatively is now at 21. Not all of those zones have been implemented yet because stakeholders on the ground aren't ready necessarily to implement them. But it's a really exciting, considering that the first activity in an entertainment zone in California was last September. It's just an incredible amount of momentum since then. And the way we're approaching it here in San Francisco is being looked to in other jurisdictions. There was a Sacramento Bee article over the weekend about how Sacramento is looking at entertainment zones locally and is curious about how San Francisco is doing it. Final point, and I know that Director Weiland already mentioned it, but really excited about this legislation that Supervisor Dorsey is authoring around Western SoMa zoning. Both the removal of the buffers around districts in Western SoMa will both expand opportunities for businesses to establish nighttime entertainment uses and will also simplify one of the most confusing areas of planning code in a way that is to everybody's benefit, to be really clear about when and where entertainment is and isn't allowed. So so doubly a win to see that moving forward to the Planning Commission. And just to echo Maggie, the commission really appreciated that the Entertainment Commission was there and ready to answer questions, even though they didn't have any. So really great to see that happening and moving forward. And with that, I think that's it. Happy to answer any questions.
Through the chair.
Thank you. Yes,
Thank you for your presentation. Just for the folks who might be hearing this for the first time, who might not be familiar, can you remind us what entertainment zone entails?
Thank you for that, because it's perhaps a misleading term. Entertainment zone is the term used in state law, so that's the one we're still using. But really what it means is that within areas designated by the Board of Supervisors during days and times designated through the ordinance or through regulatory efforts, restaurants, bars, breweries, and wineries can sell to-go beverages for consumption in a common outdoor space. So sidewalk, street, plaza. And what that does, so the privilege in entertainment zones is around alcohol service, but the benefit is that it enables these businesses, restaurants and bars, to, instead of just being sort of passive participants to outdoor activities, it actually enables them to directly generate revenue from, and then also directly participate in funding and creating outdoor events. So it provides a new way to catalyze and sustain outdoor arts and culture events that we didn't have before, and that if a business wanted to have an outdoor area before, that business would have to fence off its area, and then another business would have to fence off its area, which isn't to the benefit of anything really. So it's really about creating a shared outdoor space for people to go in and out of businesses and engage and socialize. So yeah.
Are restaurants responsible for monitoring that it doesn't go beyond the entertainment zone?
Yeah, the process that that the board developed is that there's an ordinance to designate the zones, and then OEWD, our office, is tasked with developing a management plan for each zone. Each management plan has a lead point of contact, which has traditionally been a community benefit district, merchant association, really who's the right convener to bring people together and ensure shared success. So depending on the zone, there can be individualized requirements in that management plan, and those management plan conditions can always change. We consult with the district PD station every time about their preferred recommendations for the management plan, and the lead also has to submit a security plan. So, you know, we have a lead community stakeholder that is monitoring generally the flow of drinks within the zone and to ensure that the drinks don't leave the zone. But I think what we've found, at least so far, is that because of the sustained commitment of businesses, you know, these are the brick and mortars that are in the community every day, that that we've seen a high investment in wanting it to succeed, not just for entertainment zone day, but that there's a long-term desire to see it sustain in the community, which I think really that's a vision of shared success that I think is really beneficial to the outcomes there.
Okay. And the entertainment zones are 24/7, or is there like time? And is it every day?
There's no entertainment zone operating every day at this point. Entertainment zones can operate as frequently as allowed by local ordinance and by the management plan. At this point, we have seen the stakeholders so far have seen have really been focusing on specific one-time events. You know, and I think part of that is a resource issue. You know, it can take money and effort and energy, and folks want to make sure that they're concentrating those resources on specific one-time events. Entertainment zones could operate more frequently out of that context, and certainly there are stakeholders in a number of neighborhoods that are thinking beyond those sort of one-time events to have something that is a little bit more fluid and a little bit more regular. But you know, those are conversations that are ongoing about what is right for each commercial corridor, and what does the, you know, the lead and the other stakeholders, what do they have the capacity for? So, you know, this is a new program. So where it is now and I think where people might want to see different permutations could always change, but we're really just trying to follow the lead of where the appetite is among community stakeholders.
One more question.
Yeah.
I remember when I did Beer Guardians, we had to have 10 BSFPD officers. Is that also part of the requirement for entertainment zones?
From an entertainment zone perspective, we always defer from a security plan and security requirements to the SFPD district station. So there's no one size fits all that is going to come from the entertainment zones program. We really want the folks doing the entertainment zone events to be, you know, meeting the local needs. So that could really on a case by case basis, I guess. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other comments?
Just a quick question, but it might not be a quick answer. So extended hours, is that going to be 3 a.m., 4 a.m.?
It would be potentially up to 4 a.m. on Fridays, Saturdays, and state holidays.
Okay.
Thanks. Is this sort of a redirection of the efforts to get the 4 a.m. licenses?
Could you say a little bit more about redirection?
Well, just because I know that that has been they've tried it before and it's continued to fail, or at some juncture of it, to have it more specific, I think, to the liquor licenses themselves. Yeah. Is this, because I know that was like Haney and Wiener, is this another sort of creative way to, I don't know, make it more palatable for local ordinances?
I think that for the extended hours, I think that the goal, at least for the last several times this has been tried, I think actually maybe for every time, there has always been an effort to think about particularized, targeted local implementation. Mm-hmm. Acknowledging, I think, that it's not going to make sense everywhere in the city, you know, that from a resource perspective or just even from where the opportunities are. So I think that the idea of thinking about what Assemblymember Haney is calling hospitality zones, so thinking about, you know, locations that have proximity to hotels, to large event venues, to those sorts of things, is another effort at trying to further refine where those opportunities are likely to be, you know. And I think that I think that the, you know, in some ways it's part of a through line of how, again, what are the tools localities need to really be thoughtful before. You know, it's not just that every license is going to be suddenly 4 a.m., right? It's that there's this idea of where are the opportunities, what are the resources required, how do we kind of, you know, figure out where those spaces are. So there's been continuity there, but I do think the idea of thinking about it through a lens of, downtown revitalization, nightlife corridor revitalization, where are the opportunities to really do that? I think, maybe some of the message and frame is a little bit evolved there, yeah.
Thank you.
One more question. So as people navigate from one entertainment zone to the next, so they'll have to figure out what the parameters are for each one, because it could be different rules for different entertainment zones, correct?
Yes, each entertainment zone has its own management plan and has its own, you know, there's certainly the possibility that rules are going to be different. In real time, I think a set of best practices is evolving. Like, our management plans are largely aligned around some threshold, minimum threshold conditions that we adapted from a survey of national jurisdictions that are doing some version of this. But certainly there is the possibility that as one goes from one entertainment zone to the next, the rules could be slightly different. I mean, I think that's part of why having a lead stakeholder and having community leaders that are invested in really being clear about where the boundaries are, what the rules are, because, you know, compliance, it's a new thing, so we want to make sure everybody knows how to comply.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. I think it's great just to hear about all the momentum and excitement, where there's kind of a shift in attitude. All these years of naysayers who really focused on potential adverse impacts of nightlife, now coming to embrace it and seeing it as an economic driver. All good things happening. So thank you.
Thank you.
Did we have any public comment on this item? No, we don't need any. We do. Yeah. Okay. Any public comments on the report?
There's none.
Okay, public comment is closed. Next item on the agenda is item number 7, hearing and possible action regarding applications for permits under the jurisdiction of the Entertainment Commission.
Good evening. Sorry.
Project and Communications Manager Rice, would you like to introduce the permits on
yes.
the consent agenda?
Sorry to jump on you there. I'm filling in for Deputy Director Azevedo. We have two items on the consent agenda tonight. Both are for LLP permits for indoor entertainment. The applicants conducted outreach, and there was no opposition received nor added conditions from their respective SFPD district station. The staff recommendation is to approve the consent agenda with the staff recommendations listed below.
Great. Thank you. Are there any public comments on these permit applications?
There is none.
Public comment is now closed. Do we have a motion to approve the permits?
Move to approve with staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay. Vice President Wong.
Aye.
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Aye.
Congratulations. Your permit applications are conditionally granted. Please follow up with our staff for next steps. Commission Secretary Liang, would you like to introduce the first permit application on the regular agenda?
Absolutely. The first permit on the regular agenda is a one-time outdoor event permit with extended duration for the FIGMA Config 2025 conference on Monday, May 5th, 2025 to Thursday, May 8th, 2025. And do you want to announce?
Yeah. I have to recuse myself because I have a conflict with this particular permit application.
Thank you. This event is being organized by George P. Johnson and is FIGMA's annual Global Design Conference, which brings together the design community to celebrate creativity, collaboration, and the future of design. They anticipate bringing in 10,000 plus attendees to the Moscone Center and its surrounding areas. They will be hosting live entertainment and amplified sound on their approved SFMTA street closure on Howard Street between 3rd and 4th Street, which includes a stage. Each day will have a different time of activation. So Monday, May 5th, will include setup and sound check, which is at most 6 hours between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Tuesday, May 6th, will have registration with ambient music from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Wednesday, May 7th, we'll have registration with ambient music starting at 7 a.m. and speakers and content sessions and a DJ playing throughout the day until 9:30 p.m. And on Thursday, May 8th, they will continue with speakers and content sessions and a DJ from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You will see in your folder the permit application with a site plan for their street closure, the neighborhood outreach letter, and map. SFPD Southern Station had no additional recommendations, and neighborhood outreach was delivered to all businesses and residents a bit beyond the 250 feet radius of the event premises. And we have not heard of any concerns when doing the outreach. The staff are recommending approval with the conditions listed in your memo. And here to speak with you tonight on Zoom is the Permit and Transportation Manager at George P. Johnson, Brad Kurtz.
All right, I'm bringing Mr. Kurtz in right now. So Brad, if you can hear me, please unmute yourself and turn your camera on. There you are.
Great. Good evening, commissioners, and thank you for this opportunity to present. As noted, the FIGMA Config 2025 conference is bringing together industry, international attendees from around the world to come enjoy San Francisco, Moscone, North and South. Through our ISCOT permit, we have closed Howard Street to provide an entertainment area for the attendees, with the majority of their activities being taken place inside Moscone, North and South. The area has a small stage that will allow us to highlight some of the activities going on within the venue and also give attendees a chance to enjoy the beautiful weather come early May, as well as pick up some food. We've been working closely with SFPD and we'll have over 10 posts for the duration of this event. I do need to note that on Wednesday, May 7th, instead of going till 9:30 p.m., that has been reduced to 5 p.m., which is nice. The stage is directed, the sound directly at Moscone North, but as mentioned, we did extend the outreach even today, meeting with the Yerba Buena Festival and others around the area to ensure the success. If there's any questions, be more than happy to answer, but I thank you for this opportunity.
All right, any questions from my fellow commissioners?
No.
Okay. Any public comments on this permit application?
No public comment.
Okay, public comment is now closed. Do we have a motion to approve the permit?
I Motion to approve with staff recommendations.
Seconded.
Okay. President or Vice President Wong?
Aye.
Commissioner Davis?
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio?
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas?
Aye.
Congratulations. Your permit application is conditionally granted. Please follow up with Commission Secretary Liang for next steps.
Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Commissioner Perez, please come back. And now I have to recuse myself for the next item, so I'll be passing it over to
make sure to I will personally come look for you to bring you back in.
In the back. All right, so I'm Commissioner Thomas stepping in here. Project and Communications Manager Rice, would you please introduce the next permit application on the regular agenda?
Absolutely. The next permit on the regular agenda is a one-time outdoor event permit from Into the Streets for Valencia Live. Valencia Live is a new monthly event that activates the Valencia Street corridor between 16th and 19th Street with free music and dance, family activities, and interactive art vending, and encourages attendees to support the local businesses in the neighborhood. The series kicks off on May 8th of this year and happens on the second Thursday of the month through December of 2025. Hours are from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Given the density of sensitive receptors and the history of complaints in the surrounding neighborhood, we are bringing this permit to a hearing tonight. The applicant conducted neighborhood outreach, and we received no complaints from neighbors about this permit. You will see in your folder their permit application, the site map showing the entertainment locations, the neighborhood outreach letter and map. SFPD Mission Station did not reply with any recommendations within the response window, so we assume they have no issues with this permit. Staff are recommending approval with the good neighbor policy and the conditions you see listed in the memo. Here to speak with you this evening is Javier Sanchez from Into the Streets.
Good evening, commissioners, and those with us present and telepathically. So this would be the second Thursdays of every month starting May 2025 through for sure October, hopefully through December, but we shall see. I do want to make a note that we did have not a complaint, but a concern from the appliance store on Valencia. It was for the ISCOT permit, but they did mention noise and access. And we responded and haven't heard anything back from the response, but I did want to make a note. It was like a sound complaint. But yes, this would be between 16th and 19th from 5 to 10 p.m. We're looking to have a variety of entertainment. This is being spearheaded by the VCMA and supported by Into the Streets. So we're looking to bring business to the brick and mortar restaurants and bars and just kind of everybody on the block and having them participate and just kind of help with the robustness of the area. I don't have anything unless there's questions.
Any questions from commissioners?
This has been going on since 2020, correct? Or is that a different event?
There's been a variety. I actually helped in 2020 during COVID. I don't even think it was the 2020. It might have been in 2021. But when the city started opening up activity, but this is different. It's a completely different project, so I wouldn't say it's a continuance of that. It's separate on its own. But the VCMA has been somewhat involved in all of them.
Okay, thank you.
I just have a question. You know, the police station is right there on 630 Valencia, a station I spent probably 6 years working at. Can you just describe how the officers are going to be able to get out of the station in the event that there's an emergency or just during the course of their, you know, regular duties? Mm-hmm.
So the proposal that we did is something that's similarly done for Sunday Streets. So we've kind of followed that format. So basically there's barricading to create a lane from the cutoff, the curb cut where the police vehicles enter and exit, and that goes to 17th. 17th is their preferred side. I've been in communication with Officer Ortiz, mm-hmm. Both by phone call and email. So when he responded by email, he didn't have anything at the time. The site plan, it's not really changing, but I still need final approval from fire. They just have the initial. So unless they ask for any other changes, we're going to stick with that.
Okay, so they pull out of the driveway, and then they make like a left. They hook a left. And then when they reach 17th Street, are they able to make a right towards Mission Street, or they have to just divert left onto, like, will 17th Street be opened?
All of the cross streets are open.
Oh, traffic. Okay.
So we aren't closing any intersections other than the two alleys, Sycamore and
Clarion.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's okay. All right.
Yeah, so they can go either way. And we have, yeah, thank you.
I'm good with that. Thank you very much.
Al.
Hello.
Mr. Perez.
I see here that you have three areas for busking. So that's where the live entertainment will take place, I imagine, correct?
Yes.
So just three areas.
Yes.
All right. And will the performing artists be able to manage their own volume, or do you have a crew who's going to set like the limits?
In general, it should be acoustic, but I feel like there might be like a guitar with amplified sound, but we will control that. We are in control, and we're inviting them to come busk. So we want to be mindful of the limits that are set because we don't want to – we like our permit. So we will be controlling them, and if they do not adhere to what we ask for, then we will just ask them to leave.
Do you have some kind of agreement in advance with your performing artists? Are you inviting it? This is the rules, that you cannot touch the sound levels. It might be good to have that agreement in advance, just kind of so they understand what their responsibilities are.
Yeah, so we either reach out to the buskers and artists that we want to perform, or if they want to inquire with us, we have a online portal where you can sign up, and there's information, like basically... there's going to be conditions set, so what some of those conditions are. And they have to, like, do an electronic attestation.
Find your life away.
Yeah.
Just in case somebody goes rogue, so then what's the... let's say there's the volume went too loud, and there's some neighbor who's complaining, and then does it go to a hotline or a call center? What's the process of, you know, repairing noise complaints?
I mean, sometimes, so, we get rogue, so even if they're, we have our designated buskers, there's a lot of people in the neighborhood, like people on bikes with speakers and all that, and we do ask them to politely, like, hey, do you like this event? Do you want to see it happen? Please, like, help us be respectful of the permits in place. So it's kind of an ask thing. We've had for other events, just ask the police, can you help us? with that, but to distinguish like whether the noise is from us or from someone else, we unfortunately it's not really easy to distinguish where the sound is coming from as well. So we just try and document any complaints that come in, and then we put those in the reviews after the events and try and address it as best as we can. But sometimes all you can do is ask.
Right. But in real time, are you able to receive the calls from your neighbors?
Yeah. Yeah, so I have...
So I press it in real time?
Yes, I have multiple numbers that go to my phone. So one of them is what we put on the paperwork. So I believe on the outreach letter, it should have been, I don't remember off the top of my head, but it should be 415-226-6029. That one goes directly to my phone. So usually I get it pretty quick. They can also email the info. I catch those as well as some of my other colleagues. So we usually catch them pretty quick, but sometimes it's hectic because I manage... You know, I'm working with the police, fire department, whoever's on site, medical. So we try to respond to it as soon as we can. And definitely we'll take measurements. We had a recommended sound metering app from the sound inspectors who use that or the better instruments. And we try to measure and respond in real time. Sometimes we get inundated and it takes a while for us to respond to the person, but we do get back to them eventually.
So you'll have a designated like project manager at each busking area, and they have some kind of way to communicate with each other so that they can say, hey, there's a noise complaint in 16th Street. Can you make sure that your level there is okay?
We have what we...
To communicate with each other.
Yeah, we'll have radios. We have what we have, a block captain. And so it's a designated person for each block that's like, hey, you know, this came in. I need you to speak to them. I'll be over there. Please take a sound reading. So we'll have one for each block. So they're kind of my henchmen.
Your eyes on the ground. Eyes and ears on the ground.
Kind of, yeah. It's a lot of us that respond often. It's, you know, like, usually it should be me, but one of my colleagues, if not, and I get there as soon as I can. I'm the good cop.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Any other questions from commissioners? All right. Thank you. You can sit down.
Okay.
Are there any public comments on this permit application?
So there are no hands raised on Zoom, and there's no one in the room here.
All right. Public comment is closed. Do we have a motion to approve the permit?
I'd like to make a motion to approve with staff recommendations.
Second.
Great.
Okay. Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Aye. Congratulations. Your permit application is conditionally granted, and please follow up with Project and Communications Manager Rice for next steps. Thank you. And now, Project and Communications Manager Rice, would you introduce the third and final permit application?
Thank you, Commissioner Thomas. The final permit on the regular agenda is a one-time outdoor event permit from Into the Streets again, but this time for Downtown First Thursdays. Now in its second year, Downtown First Thursdays is a free monthly street party in downtown San Francisco taking place the first Thursday of every month from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. The event starts up again in May of this year and runs through April 2026. Each event is expected to draw an estimated 10,000 attendees and will feature DJs, bands, fashion shows, dance acts, and family-friendly activities. A key goal for the event is to support the revitalization of downtown through entertainment activations and increasing foot traffic to downtown businesses. The locations of the stages and amplified sound are the same as last year. So for the record, I'll read them out loud. It's 2nd and Howard, New Montgomery and Minna, Jesse and 2nd Street, and adjacent to 90 Natoma Street, also adjacent to Salesforce Transit Center. Like last year, the applicant is requesting to hold sound checks on the day of the event from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. You'll see in your folder their permit application, site plan showing locations of the stages, their neighborhood outreach letter, and the map. The applicant conducted neighborhood outreach, and we received one email complaint and one letter of support regarding this particular permit application. For background and context, just want to say that since we issued the permit last year, we have received 6 complaints from neighbors regarding the volume of the amplified sound. These are saved in your folder along with the 2 public comment items we received. 4 of the complaints over the last year were from residents living on New Montgomery Street, located one block away from the stage at 2nd and Howard. Into the Streets has been in regular communication with those residents to address their concerns. Inspector Zavrina set a special sound limit last year, and we are recommending the same sound limit for this year's permit. In setting the sound limit, Inspector Zavrina paid special attention to the sound traveling toward the residential building on New Montgomery to ensure compliance with the police code. SFPD Southern Station did not have any concerns or recommendations for this permit. Staff are recommending approval with the good neighbor policy and the conditions you see listed in the memo. Here to speak with you this evening is Javier Sanchez from Into the Streets.
Hello again. So this event ended up being successful. We were a little bit nervous to start out with. It was a big undertaking, but it's been very well received overall. The merchants along the street are very happy with it. We have a couple neighbors that don't love it. But there is also, at the same time, we hear a lot of support from some of the neighbors as well, which is great. I wish more people had wrote in. But same cadence, not changing any of the stage locations. The Natoma Salesforce space, it takes place on both sides of the border. So just noting that it's not 2 different spaces. It just in order to adhere with fire code in the emergency access lane. Sometimes we have to have the source of the music be on the Trans Bay property or on the Natoma side. So, but that is just one location. So it's the same. Nothing is changing from last year. The only things that have been changing are some of the safety mechanisms that we put in place that we're working with fire and police on. But conceptually and location-wise, it's been working well. We're not looking at changing it. The only thing that would be changing regularly is the programming. So if anybody has any questions.
Commissioners, any questions?
Good question.
Commissioner Perez.
So regarding the complaints from the neighbors, so it looks like you tried to address those. So what are your takeaways from last year's regarding sound and noise that you're going to be able to implement this year?
One thing is definitely the type of music affects it, for sure. I'm pretty sure the weather affects it. Another thing is that while we're doing readings at what I presume is sea level, I really wish we can take like more sound readings from higher. At the last event, we got a complaint for the first time from a building that was a block away. I think when the complaint came in, it was hip hop by the time we got up. So I went to the bus island on second between Howard and Clementina. And it was kind of more disco-ish, so it was within limits, but it is a little bit at a higher elevation. It's just conditions affect the way that sound travels. And even if we get the complaint in right away, and you know, you don't necessarily catch it right away. And then it's like the front of house, you know, like measure it now. What is it? What is it? You know, and it's just, it doesn't always stick. And like, you know, sometimes you're making quick adjustments and there is variance. So it's just hard to catch. And
you mentioned you based on last year's, you noticed that the type of music, certain types of music tends to have more impact, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, and so like maybe, the amount of people.
Okay, so I'm just thinking maybe this year, knowing who your lineup is, maybe you can ask ahead of time, what kind of music are you going to do? And then knowing that that band potentially could be a thing, then maybe just for that one band, turn the volume a little bit lower to anticipate that it's going to cost a little impact.
For sure. And one other takeaway is we've been primarily dealing with DJs. So that's a relatively quick sound check, like 10 minutes, you know. So the four stages, it's, you know, it's definitely, you know, like 10 minutes, next stage. We try and do it like to have as little impact as possible. One takeaway is if there's a lot of band members, and we had a large band on one of the previous dates, and it took a while to get through each instrument. So the main stage, the sound check, it occurred over a longer period of time. So it sounded like they started early. So we did get a complaint that was like, oh, we're starting. It's like, no, we're doing sound check, but there's a guitar, there's bass, there's, so that's another thing to consider. But yeah, that's part of the directive.
Okay.
For sure.
Thank you.
Any other questions from commissioners? No questions. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any discussion, commissioners? Any public comment?
So we had someone email in a public comment to the main Entertainment Commission email that I'm going to read aloud as promised. And then anyone listening on Zoom, if you would like to make a comment on Zoom, you can raise your hand and we will bring you in. But I'll start with this one from Daniel Filipkowski. He says, hello, I'm a resident of District 6 and live at address redacted, which is near the event footprint. He says, I fully support the Downtown First Thursdays monthly events. Please renew the permit for Downtown First Thursdays into 2026. Thank you. All right. If anyone else has any comment on Zoom, please raise your hand right now.
public comment.
All right, public comment is closed. Do we have a motion to approve the permit?
I motion to approve with staff recommendations.
Second.
All right, could we have a vote?
Commissioner Davis.
Aye.
Commissioner Perez.
Aye.
Commissioner Poggio.
Aye.
And Commissioner Thomas.
Aye. Congratulations. Your permit is conditionally granted. Please follow up with project and communication manager Rice for next steps. Thank you. All right, Vice President. There she is. All right. I hand the metaphorical gavel back to the Vice President.
Recovering Commissioner Thomas. Okay, the next item on the agenda is agenda item number 8, Commissioner Comments and Questions.
Would you remind us when the summit is and where it is and how people can attend?
Absolutely. Our annual summit is occurring on Monday, May 12th from 12 to 4 p.m. at 49 South Van Ness, which is near the corner of Market. We will begin with a resource fair where other city departments will be tabling from 12 to 1, and then we'll have presentations from 1 to 4, including welcoming remarks section and two different panels. That will be followed by a happy hour that is occurring at Smuggler's Cove beginning at 4:15 p.m. going until 6:30 p.m. and just noting that you must be over 21 to attend that optional portion of the event. We hope to see you all there.
I also want to say one of the items on our consent calendar at 835 Larkin Street, I went to see the performance there this week. It's an immersive theater performance of the Compton's Cafeteria, events around the Compton's Cafeteria riot, and it's a fantastic use of the space, and I highly recommend folks should go and see it. I think the tickets are available through the Tenderloin Museum.
Oh, awesome.
But it's, and I don't know how long it is there. I should know that before I promote it, but it was it was a really interesting immersive theater experience.
I'm very excited to go see it. My friends were like, we should go to this. I'm like, well, we'll see if they get their permit.
And Al, you want to tell us about Chow Fun too?
Yeah, thank you. Yes. Yeah, so for the third year, this year we are producing Chow Fun in celebration of May AANHPI Heritage Month and San Francisco Small Business Week. We're combining these two initiatives together by celebrating restaurants, dining establishments along District 11, 10, and 9. Our first year, we're just in Excelsior. Year two, last year, we expanded to Ocean and Geneva. This year, we're expanding to Viz Valley and Sunnydale because they just got recognized to be Pacific Islander Cultural District. So we want to bring some love in that part of town as well. So come support Chow Fun and dine out and eat global while you're at it. So our website's chowfunsf.com.
Well, I'll put one of these up at St. Mary's because we're right on the path there.
Yes. All right. If there are no public, are there any public comments on this item?
No public comments.
Okay. Public comment is now closed, and this meeting is adjourned at 6:28 p.m. Thanks, everybody.